because your life was about the truth. They could not destroy you or what you stand for. Light of the world, my precious Lord. I come before you with my heart in my hand. Lord, I adore you, your words by command. I am saved by your grace, and in your word I believe. Jesus, my Savior, my precious Lord.
Or morning prayer, and we say, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, O Maker. Almighty and everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, we come with grateful and thankful hearts to praise you on this Sabbath morning for the many blessings and the tender mercies that you have given us since last we met. We invite your Holy Spirit's presence to lead in this service. And we pray that you will forgive us for our sins, cleanse us, and make us ready to receive the blessings and the messages that you have for us today. We pray that we will be receptive to Dr. Johnson's sermon, that we will listen to the prayers and the music, and that we receive a blessing from the reading of thy word. Bless each member, each visitor, each child assembled here today, and bless those who are not here or have assembled in other gatherings around the World Harvest Field. And help us all to be impressed with the fact that thou art a listening God and that you are willing to hear our prayers. We pray that now you will hear the prayers of those, the prayers of those who are crying out for help with their health, with physical needs. Hear our prayer. For those who are mourning, suffering the loss of friends or relatives, hear our prayer. For those who are lonely, discouraged, hear our prayer. And for those who are in need of food, for shelter, for employment, or for those who need your help in pursuing educational goals, we pray that you will incline your ear and hear their requests. And help us all to realize that you are a listening God and that if we seek thee, you will save to the uttermost. This, O God, is our intercession, and we pray it through the worthy name of your Son, and for his sake, amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet.
my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart's burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me.
You know, Washington Adventist University has a great music program. I'm sure they would benefit from Sarah attending. If the deacons would come forward. The offering today is for Washington Adventist University. And they do have a great music program. I'm actually an alumnus of Washington Adventist University, not a participant in the music program. However, anybody want to guess the year I graduated? Oh, yesterday. Tom, your transfer is not accepted. Rachel, you want to guess? 96. I wish that was true too. But close, 91. That's a little frightening to think about, but... If you would like to give a donation to Washington Adventist, please do mark it in your tithe envelope as you give. It will go to a great cause. They are having a new birth at Washington Adventist. It is a great education they provide there, and it's a privilege for us to be able to support it if you're able. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for your willingness to sacrifice. And we are
eternally grateful that he was raised again so that we might be raised with him and with you. Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to participate in your ministry by giving what we can, by sharing what we can, by loving as you love. Lord, we ask that you will bless the funds that we give today. Bless the small token that we can give back. May it serve your will. May it carry your love wherever that love needs to be. You know where it is. Please guide it. Thank you, Lord. In all these things we pray. In Jesus' name.
It is time for our children's story. Sarah, do you want to do it? No? You want to do it? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, you want to do it? Oh, no. Okay. All right, kids. Sorry, you don't get a special treat. You get me today. So if you'll head back to the back of the sanctuary, grab a basket, and as they come forward, if you would be so kind to reach in and grab a few dollars or some change to give them. So we're collecting for the Christian education. We would really appreciate it. Maybe next time. Okay, everybody needs to find a really good seat because we're going to do something that your parents wish they could do. Some of them do, but we're not going to talk about that right now. All right, put that in there. Okay, who knows what this weekend is?
Easter.
What? Who told you that? How did you know it was Easter? Oh, you guys look at the calendars? Okay. Now, as you know, for Easter, we talk about that's the celebration or the remembrance of the time that Jesus died on the cross. Does anybody see a cross in this church anywhere? Where? Where do you see one? Right. Can you see that flag? It's a Christian flag in the very top. You see the cross right there? So today, we're going to remember something. How many points are on the top of that cross? Let's just say 3, okay? I think there's 3. So today, every time you're going to see a cross, you're going to remember because we're going to make 3 points. Let me see the number 3. Who's got the number 3? Sammy, let me see your 3. That's 1, 5, minus 1, 3. Okay, excellent, excellent. Now, the first one, we're going to remember 3 things. The first thing is about Jesus's life, right? And the second one is about Jesus's death. And the third one is about his next life. Ooh, that's a big word. Come here, say that again.
Resurrection.
All right, let's all say that. 1, 2, 3.
Resurrection.
I didn't think you guys would be able to say that, but yes, that's true. Now, the first thing, do you know that Jesus dying on the cross was really a hard thing to do for God the Father, who had to sacrifice his son? Has anybody here ever sacrificed anything? I don't think so. Not kids today. All right. Oh, you said money. Good job. All right, come up here. You're going to be my little helper today. Come here. You'll be one helper. Okay. You stand right here. And let me pick a girl. Let's see, one that's raising her hand and leaning over the thing really hard. Yeah, that's you. Okay. Right, I have a little bit of money here. Okay, now you come on this side. Stand right next to him. Okay. So here I have some money. Everybody see how much money I have. So here you go, Rachel, and this, you are rich. Okay? And our little skit. Look at all that money she has. Do you guys want that money?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Martin. In this skit, you are not so rich. All right? Right. So now guess what? When it comes time for the offering, so here comes our offering plate. So could you put in a coin in the offering plate, please? Okay. And could you put in a coin? Okay. Who put in more money? Who put in more? Who? What do you say?
She did.
How much did she put in?
25 cents.
And how much did he put in?
1.
Oh, are they right? Did she put in more? Oh, somebody in the Bible disagrees with you. Do you know who disagrees with you? Jesus, because he told a parable just like this. She might... Oh, you want to say something? Okay. Okay. Thought you were going to make my point for me. A sacrifice is giving up something that really means a lot to you. She still has a lot left. What did he give? Everything. Aw, that's so precious. All right, now go put that in the offering. Put that over there, the whole thing. Thank you, guys. All right, you guys can sit down real quick. You see, a sacrifice is giving something. It does not always mean that you give everything. But how many sons did God have? And how many did he allow to die on the cross? 1. All right. So now let's talk about for a second dying on the cross. Now, the Bible talks about dying as a sleep. So we're going to do an experiment right now. When I say 3, I want all of you guys to pretend to be asleep. All right? This is something your parents do during some of the services, we've noticed. All right? But not today, Pastor Johnson. All right. They've been warned. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Now, wait a minute. Do I need to come knock you out? We're pretending. No. Now, actually, you're pretending to be dead. Remember that? You're not alive anymore. And this is what it was like for Jesus, except he wasn't thinking. He really was dead. So stop thinking right now. You can't stop thinking. All right. Now, the good news is, what's the good news? Why are you raising your hand? You're supposed to be asleep. The good news is that the next day, 3 days after he was killed, he arose from the dead. Now, when I say three, I want everyone to pretend they really were dead, and now you're alive. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Parents, aren't you happy? Wow, you did not. They did not do their part in this play. Okay, everybody back down. One, two, three, you're out. This time, when I say three, you pop up because you're alive, and let's see if your parents have a real response. Are they really happy that you're now alive? Okay? One, two, three. Okay, I don't think they're getting the point of this. Back down, back down. One, two, three. I mean, what do you have to do in this church to get a standing ovation? I don't know. Ready? One. Shh, you're dead. Two. Three. Jump up. I'm sorry, children. Some of your parents just aren't that excited about it. But imagine one day when we will be that excited, when we all come to life, when your parents come to life, maybe they passed on and we see Jesus in heaven. We're going to remember this holiday weekend as Easter. We do think back about some of the things that Jesus went through, but we ultimately end on the fact that he did not stay dead, did he? He is alive. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. So when we think about Easter, we better get happy. We wear bright colors and we remember the great things that Jesus has done. Okay, now after that, I need someone to pray. Come on, who's going to do it? All right, come on, young man. Let's go. Yes, let's go. Come right here. All right. All right, there's no break. We're going to pray. All right, let's bow our heads.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for everyone in the world. Thank you for your blessings and everything. Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, go back to your seats. Remember, there will be children's church today. Do you need them not to? Oh, hey, you guys, why don't you stay here for a second if you want, or you can go back, apparently. But since you've already left, that's done.
But God set upon the cross.
What is he doing?
morning, church. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May God add blessings to the reading of his word.
Wasn't that absolutely beautiful? When I get to heaven, I want to sing maybe a little deeper, but just kind of like that. But the music today has just been fantastic. How many have been blessed by the music today? Oh, I love it. As Andrew said a little bit earlier, it's so funny because they do all this fancy testing at the radio station. The songs that we play are tested. Everything is just tested, tested, tested. And they usually get everything right, except for one thing, is that every time they just ask to describe, what do you think Chaplain Terry looks like? A 65-year-old white man. Every single time. They say, oh, he's probably a grandpa with a big beard and white hair. But no. And so I'm still just amazed at that. I'm going to just invite you to bow your heads, if you would, with me at this time. Dear Lord, once again, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to share a few words with my friends here today. And I just ask in a very special way that you will continue to be with us. You've already been with us through the music, through the songs, just through everything so far, the prayers. And so I asked a favor that I asked every single time, and that is that you take self out of Terry and just help me, Lord, to just be a vessel ready to be used by you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I truly believe this in my whole heart. You are not here by accident. And maybe you thought that I'll just come and visit or I'm coming with a friend, but you're here for a reason and a purpose. And part of what I do at the radio station is answer prayer requests. And one of the things that we know that's unique is that 40% of our radio audience are not connected to any church community. And people ask, why do we have so many prayers? Because we have over 500 prayers that come in every week. And I believe that one of the secrets is learning to be connected, having someone there to pray for you and just be able to connect with them. And I'm always telling people, connect with a church family that loves you. And I just want to invite you that if you're a visitor here today, if there's a special need that you might have, if you will notice in front of your pews, there's a card, and it's called the Connect card. And if you turn over, there's different ways that you can be connected a little closer to Jesus. But maybe you just are visiting and you just want someone to pray for you. There's even a space for that. And so before this service is over with, I'm going to invite you to make sure that you fill out one of these cards and we'll collect them towards the end. But we want to make sure that we connect with you in some way. Amen? Amen. Last night, I had the opportunity to share at the Agape Feast. And wasn't that beautiful? How many were there last night? That was just absolutely beautiful. And I just thank y'all so much for allowing me to be part of that with you. When the pastor called me a few weeks ago and invited me to come and to be part of the Easter service, I was thinking of many things, but something that came to mind to me was the cross and what I shared a little bit last night. When I was working at the White House many years ago, I see one of my good friends, Brother Coleman there, who remembers me from those days. As I said, I was half the man I used to be back then, literally. But it was so interesting because I had the chance to be part of a special team that was part of Gorbachev's first visit to the United States, Perestroika, they called it, and many of you remember that. And within that process, I had the chance to be very close to one of the Russian Secret Service agents. And we became friends, and it was just interesting, our conversations. And he was atheist, born and raised atheist. And so he couldn't understand why the Christian, what do we do, and different things. And I remember one of the deepest conversations we had was about the cross. And as I shared last night, he asked me a question. He says, Terry, I just don't understand. Why is this cross so important to you Christians? And I was thinking, and I was thinking what I would say, and friends, it just came over me. And the words that came out of my mouth even shocked me. I said, Yuri, the reason the cross is so important, because it represents how God took something bad and made it good. Every time you see the cross, it should remind us of something that should have been horrible. Every time we should see a cross, and in fact, if you even look at the history of the cross, it was used as a scare tactic. They would put it in cities for people would remember that Rome was in charge. And that's what everyone viewed the cross as until God touched it. And once God touched it with our scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the cross went from something bad to something good. And that shows us that in our own personal lives, if you're going through a struggle, if you're facing something that seems so twisted it can't be straightened out, God can touch that bad situation and he can make it good. I was reading a story not that long ago. True story. It took place in Atlanta, Georgia, around 4 years after slavery. There was an old gentleman who was just known to always be on top of his job. He was a former slave, but even when he was a slave, he was just so on top of everything. And so when they were rebuilding Atlanta after it was burnt down, they were finding people to be in different positions in different places. And so this gentleman, everyone in the community recommended that he should work in their little postal service. And this former slave who was just honored that people would just consider him to do this was honored to do the job. And so for 4 years, he worked in the postal service dressed in his little outfit. One particular day, he was coming out of the little postal service from his little lunch break. And there was a young fellow loading a wagon. And the fellow could have been no more than 15, 16 years old. And he saw the old fellow standing there, and he simply said this: "Boy, what are you doing over there? Get over here and load these bags in the back of this cart." And everyone was shocked. This young guy yelling at this postal service worker, all dressed up, what would happen? The old gentleman took off his jacket. He ran over there, and he loaded up the wagon. And then the young fellow got in his wagon and drove off. I wish I could tell you that there was a moral to the story, or he did it because he was trying to be a Christian, but no. Is that what had happened is that that young fellow was his master's son. And in his mind, even though he had been free for over 4 years, even though he had a prestigious job, he let the past kick in, and he rushed right back over there and started living his past all over again. Friends, this is why Easter is so important. Because just like that former slave, we have a tendency to do that. We forget that what Christ did on the cross freed us. That we no longer have to be a victim. That Christ made a way that we are all free with him. But so many times what happens is that when something just goes wrong a little, we find ourselves going right back into slavery in our mind all over again. Maybe you've struggled with an addiction that the Lord has just helped you with so many years ago. Maybe you had a bad attitude or whatever it might be that this thing has just held you down. And as soon as you get under stress, it's so easy for you to forget what the cross is all about. Friends, I want you to know today that we are free in Jesus Christ because what he did for us on the cross. One of the things that this former slave did is that he let his past take over his future. And I want you to know here today that you don't have to let your past equal your future. That God has a plan for you. And every time the devil tries to make you think that you can't, you shouldn't, you have to remind that old devil, I am not going to let my past be my future because of what Jesus did on the cross. He made an example that even something bad, he can make good out of it. Friends, I have never shared this in public, but just not that long ago, I was getting ready to defend my dissertation right over American University campus down the street there, Wesley Theological Seminary. And I have to be honest with you. I'm there getting my stuff together, studying this stuff for 4 years, every little detail, ready to go. All of a sudden, I could hear a voice. Almost an audible voice, simply saying, "Terry, what are you doing here? You know, you can't even read. You're dyslexic. You're going to get in front of those people. Have you lost your mind?" And friends, it was the voice of my second grade teacher. Do you know that I got up and been honest with you? I got up from the little studying area and I was about ready to walk out of there and to go home. Like the former slave, I started letting my past take over my future. And I remember I had even gotten up and gone to the door because I was just like, man, there, I'm going to be made a fool of. I can't. And then that's when the Jeremiah 29:11 that you hear me say over and over and over, that my grandmother just branded in my head. And that's why reading God's words are so important, to get to know his promises. He doesn't just tell us to do that for no reason. He wants us to read those promises and his word, because when you do face situations, he wants to be able to recall what you have read to come forward. Because as my hand was there ready to walk out, I heard that I have a plan for you. I have a future. I have a hope for you, Terry. The positive scriptures made me turn around and go and sit back down, which I passed. And in fact, I don't say this, I only say this for the glory of God, that out of my class, I graduated to National Cathedral right down the street. I was in the top three. Just imagine if I would have let that voice talk me out of it. All that people would have remembered is, yeah, he studied and we knew he was taking classes for 4 years, but we don't know what happened. And friends, there are many of you here today that God wants to remind you that your past does not equal your future. I don't care what people have said about you in the past. They may have said you have come from a good family. Maybe they have said, you know what, you're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. And then what you have to do is to throw scriptures right back at them. With God, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. Oh, friends, God has an awesome future and plan for all of us. In fact, I love this scripture that's taken from John 8:35-36. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. The second point is this, is that we have to remember that we were bought with a price. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. In fact, that scripture says in certain translations, honor him with everything that you have, because you were bought with a price. God bought you with a price by dying on that cross. A death that should have been for you and me. Friends, you understand, there are many people who died on a cross back then, thousands of them. But what made this dying on the cross so unique was this, is that this is when the only times when a person was dying on the cross that they had the power to stop it. They had the power to destroy everyone who was doing stuff to put them on the cross. But Jesus humbled himself. Not for himself, but for you and for me. So that we can have the freedom that we have now. To be able to have the choice to be with him forever. There is something about the cross. So always remember this, that you were bought with a price. God made a sacrifice for you. God shed his precious blood that you can make a decision to choose him every day. Our third point is this, is that we have to remember that we were adopted into a royal family. Notice what it says in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. For you chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Sometimes I don't think we fully understand this. That you are royalty when you accept Jesus as your Savior. There was a movie a few years ago, I think it was called Prince of Thieves or something like that, and this basically this king, he adopted this actually it was a little street kid. And then he grew up in the palace, and towards the end, they were dividing up everything that the king had, and they were about to leave out a portion for this adopted one, and the king said, no. He is my son. You give him everything that any of my sons would receive. Do you realize that's how God looks at us? That according to this scripture, we were adopted into his family. I remember I had a friend back in fourth grade, and he discovered that he was adopted. His parents shared with him, and I remember he was just devastated. He was just devastated. You know how mean sometimes little kids can be. Other little kids started teasing him, and it had gotten out of control. So this little kid went to his family, I guess, and he told me. He came back, and some kids were teasing him, and he said this. He says, my mother said, I'm special because I was chosen. Your mothers didn't have a choice with any of you. Friends, we have been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. You are royal. Stop acting like your past is the way that you have to live. Stop letting struggles of the past. Stop letting the voices saying that you can't, you don't, you shouldn't. Because God has such an awesome plan for you. And I like where the young people say it, is that once you're part of God's family, he has your back. You have to remember that. I remember as a little boy, my father died when I was just 9 years old, and my mom had to go back to work. And so even though I have five brothers and sisters, I'm the youngest, and there's a 15-year difference between myself and the next youngest. Same mother, same father. They had me. My mom was 40 years old, and so not expecting me. But I remember that my little neighborhood, when mom had to decide what they would do, take care of me while she was going to work, they decided that one of my aunts, who lived just probably around 6 or 7 blocks down the street, that after school, that I would stop by the house, pick up a few things, and then I would go and be with her until mom got off to work. And so mother, that weekend, she practiced with me going to my aunt's house. And I remember her holding my hand, and we would walk it 3 blocks down, stop, make a right, 3 blocks over, and there was my aunt's house. And so mother just kept going over that with me in my head over and over. 3 blocks down, stop, right, 3 blocks, Aunt Gladys's house. Over and over and over that weekend. And finally, the big day came. Stopped at the house, put my little stuff up. She left a little money for me that I could buy a little stuff at the store for my cousins. Got my little money. Three blocks down. Stop. As I'm getting ready to make the three blocks over, Freddie and his friends step up. And Freddie was a little fella. And Freddie looked at me and says, "What do you think you're doing?" I said, "I'm going to my Aunt Gladys' house." "Well, you know, these are my blocks here. You got to pay me if you want to walk down these blocks." He said, "How much money do you have?" And I reached out and I took out my little dollar my mother had given me. He snatched a dollar and said, "Every day you better have a dollar if you're going to walk down this street." And so, friends, for almost 3 months, I'm giving little Freddie a dollar. And finally, I don't know how it came up at one of the dinners or something, and my mother had mentioned when we were at Aunt Gladys's house, something like that. "I hope Terry's not eating too much candy. I'm giving him that money." And then I remember when my cousin says, "Terry's borrowing money from us when we get candy." And then something didn't go right to everyone. So the next day, that Monday, three blocks down, stop. As I'm getting ready to get my money out for Freddie, Freddie's looking at me. And I should have known something was wrong by the way he was looking and the guys with him. They were all nervous. And I'm trying to give him my money and he's not even taking it. He's just... And then I turned around. There was my cousin Yolanda, my cousin Jesse, my cousin Pat. And my cousin Yolanda, she is what you would call a scrapper. She loves to fight. Even at that age, at age 13 or whatever, I mean, if she would have lived in this day, she would have been one of those female boxers or something. She just loved to fight. Yolanda didn't even say a word. She just jumped on Freddie and started giving him the whooping of his life. And Freddie's crying and his friends are running. It was a nightmare. And then finally, when she was done with Freddie, she says, "Freddie, you know what? You're going to give him a dollar every time he walks by this block. And if you don't, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do this all over again." And do you know, for the rest of that time, Freddie gave me a dollar every time I walked in the block there. And friends, the Lord is my witness. I was back in Portland, Oregon, visiting my mother not that long ago. I was at the mall. Freddie and his family were at the mall. And the Lord is my honest witness. As soon as Freddie saw me, he reached in his pocket and he was getting ready to give me a dollar. I said, "Man, no, stop. That was a long time." But it was so ingrained in his head. Friends, do you understand? God has our back. We're part of his royal family now. That every time the enemy tries to do something to you, you don't have to act like a former slave. You are part of his family. That God is there. He's there to protect you. He's there to help you. He's there to help you to be strong. Stop letting your past rule your future. Remember what he did for us on the cross. Once again, the cross represents how God can take any situation that should be bad and make it good. Friends, 3,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, 2,000 years ago, I should say, and he died for us. And I just want you to leave here today knowing that nothing is impossible with him. And some of you know that one of the things that I did, I have a degree in family counseling from Loma Linda, and one of the things that we discovered very fast is that it's easy sometimes for us to smile on the outside, but inside, We're going through some stuff. I'm convinced that there's someone here this very moment that has a health concern. I don't know who you are. It's just between you and the Lord. But from your point of view, it looks hopeless. You have tried everything. But I'm here to say today that not even a health concern is so bad that God can't make good out of it. Maybe you're suffering from a financial problem. You're even afraid to open your mailbox up because you know exactly what's going to be in there. Bills and more bills and more bills. You don't even answer your phone because you know it's nothing but bills and more bills. Friends, I want you to know that even in that situation, God can make a difference. As I say all the time, that there are some of you here that you have a loved one you've been praying for such a long time. It seems that the more you show them right, the more wrong looks to them. Even God can take that situation and make good out of it. And finally, there are some here today. It's just between you and the Lord. You know in your heart that you're not connected to Him the way that you should be. Friends, God wants you to be part of His royal family. So take this Easter and renew yourself with Him. Reconnect with Him. Let Him erase those past memories and let Him replace it with that you are part of a royal family now. That He has a plan for you and a future. I don't care if you're 90 years old or if you're 5 years old. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you can still be used by God. And I want to end this with a special prayer. It's just between you and the Lord of what that need is. But if there's something that you just want to turn over to Him, I'm going to invite you to stand. And this is not for everybody, but it's just between you and the Lord. Whatever it might be, I invite you to stand. As I pray, and I want to remind you once again, if you're visiting, make sure you fill out this connect card, because I know the pastor and the team here, they really want to follow up with you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, once again, we know we are not here by accident. There are some here today, Lord, that they have been acting like that former slave. They have not been acting like they are part of a royal family. And so, Lord, whatever the situation might be, I ask that you will just touch it, dear Lord. Lord, there are some that thought that they only came here by accident today, that they just came and they were going to, but no, Lord, everything is for a reason and for a purpose. And so, Lord, I just ask that they will leave here knowing that just as you've done with the cross, that you took a situation that should have been horrible, but you make good out of it, that you want to do the same for them and for their situation. May we leave here with hope. May we leave here knowing that with you, all things are possible. In your name we pray, let everyone say, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
On the cruel cross.
Will you bow your heads? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face always shine upon you. May he bless your coming in and your going out. And in all things, we pray, amen. After the end of the church life, may you begin the true Easter service.